Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're chanting together. Yeah, text 24. Yes? Tatashchava pritcham imam vipritche. Vishrabhya vipra iti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriya manaischa krityam. Shudham chatatra mrishatabhiyuktaha. Tatashchava prichcham imam viprichche. Vishrabhya vipra iti Vishrambhya vipra iti krityatayam. Sarvatmana mriya manaischa krityam. Shudham cha tatra mrishatabhiyuktaha. Pritcham imam vipritche tataha. As such. Cha and vaha. Unto you. Pritcham, that which is to be asked. Imam, this. Vipritche, beg to ask you. Vishrabhya, trustworthy. Vipraha, brahmanas. Iti, thus. Krityatayam, out of all different duties. Sarva atmana, by everyone. Mriyamanai, especially those who are just about to die. Cha, and krityam, dutiful. Shuddham, perfectly correct. Cha, and tatra, therein. Amrishata, by complete deliberation. Abhiyuktaha, just befitting. Translation, oh, trustworthy brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty, please. After proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and especially of those who are just about to die. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the king has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second question is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question relating to the dying man is most important, because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Pariksit placed these two questions before Shukadeva Goswami also on his arrival, And practically the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto to the last 12th canto, deals with these two questions. The conclusion arrived at thereof is that devotional service of the Lord Sri Krishna, as it is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the last phases of the Bhagavad Gita, is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty in life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on his conviction so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. He has especially mentioned the word shuddha, or perfectly correct, for transcendental realization or self-realization. Many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first-class methods. Some of them are second- or third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one give up all other methods and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord and thus be saved from all sins and their reactions. The very next verse, Shukadeva Goswami appears, and then there's a description of his features and how these very elevated, we heard yesterday, how elevated, personified Vedas' personalities. Just by, without even having ever seen him before, they immediately recognize, wow, and they rise and offer him the special seat. Hey. Trick microphone stand. Thank you, Arjita. It would have been a struggle. Saved by Arjita Prabhu. I want to read, there's two verses after they receive Shukadeva Goswami and etc., the introduction, the recognition by everyone of the exalted. He hasn't said anything yet, but they recognize immediately just by his presence. Who can imagine how powerful he was? Of course, these are very qualified persons. Even the most qualified person is not so easily recognized by a worldly person, but they recognize. And so the two questions, text 37 and 38, those of you who don't like to look at these things. You are the spirit, this is Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva, same two questions. You are the spiritual master of the great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons and especially for one who is about to die. And then the next verse has no purport, but please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship. And also what he should not do, please explain all this to me. So this is, the door is being opened for Bhagavad Dharma by the circumstance. It's the invitation to speak Srimad Bhagavatam's message. And that's a Lord's arrangement. And Shukadeva Goswami speaks, and there's, of course, there's, as with any instruction, one who hears carefully will always have clarification questions, not specifically doubting questions, although, like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has some doubt. Over here you say this, and over there you say that. I'm confused. Could you clarify? But seeking the inquisitive spirit, when one wants to know, and one hears truth with a capital T, absolute truth, then naturally there's questions. It's a symptom of, I want to know and I hear, and I'm not there yet, so I have questions. It's natural. It's a sign of intelligence. It's a sign that one has heard well. So Shukadeva Goswami is speaking, Maharaj Parikshit has abundant questions as he goes along. And then similarly in this, the format of the Bhagavatam, and for that matter the Puranas, is the question-answer format. Qualified speaker, qualified hearer, and the qualified hearer seek clarification. Now, as with Arjuna, so also with Maharaj Parikshit, they're taking the position of one of us. Specifically, in this purport, I mean, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is covered. Maharaj Parikshit isn't covered, not like he can't understand. Arjuna is covered, and Maharaj Parikshit is seeking clarification as described here. He already knows, but he's seeking clarification so that there'll be no confusion and no dispute about, is he doing the right thing? So he's a king, and he's seeking confirmation from most eminently qualified brahmanas from all over the universe, as we heard, including Brahmaloka, descending to give transcendental knowledge. So he's eager for the transcendental knowledge, which he already knows, but he's seeking confirmation. Something like, nice, it's different, but it's similar, when he saw the personality Kali breaking the bowl. Like, he saw it happening. He heard it, and he went there, and he saw it happening. But still he asked the bowl, who has done this? And then there's this interesting answer. Well, some people say, and some people say, and some people say. It's hard to say. What's the cause of action? It's hard to say. So, how do you get an answer to something that's hard to say? Well, the method of the Bhagavatam and the method of Bhagavad Gita and the method of Vedic wisdom is you hear from the right person. In the past week, I have had 4 conversations with new people, like really new, brand spanking new people. And they are just learning, and the spiritual marketplace has abundant chaos. This and that and the other thing and the other thing. And even those that have had some exploration within the Vedic paradigm, the Vedas, there's abundant, what to speak of the internet, but you know, aside from the internet, there's abundant. So as Prabhupada is addressing that in the purport, first class, second class, third class, so it's not, we just dismiss. It's just not properly understood without disciplic succession. Like, what's the goal of this or that? What's the goal? I'm going to tell a little story to illustrate this. Prahladananda Swami and I both became Hare Krishna devotees at the same university. You remember me, you know, this little fellow, when you were practicing already? Remember? Buffalo? Yeah, okay. So Rupanuga was in charge of that little center that was abundantly producing fruits. And then later, a few years later, he became the president in New York. And he continued his liking for college preaching, and I became his assistant because I also liked college preaching. I'll try to do it quickly because of time. A quick apology. I had a plan to, because I heard Ratnabhushana's in the hospital, go see Ratnabhushana, spend time with Savasana, because I had an afternoon flight, and the airlines, without telling me, changed the flight. And I found out when I tried to check in, that, you know, pre-check, and I have to leave right after class. So I guess, excuse me for running, but I'm going to have to run. So Rupanuga, maybe some of you know him, some of you may not know him. He has, his profile is very serious. I mean, some of your younger generation people you won't know. He reminded me of Yul Brynner, like naturally bald and like intense person. And so this was his format, without making it quick. We would have regular classroom classes, and his procedure was he went, you know, very formal. On the floor, he put a, without saying a word, he put a cloth. He put a picture of Gopal Krishna, you know, Krishna with his arm around the cow and on a rock, and that picture. And then he set up a bell and some incense, and he lit some incense. He hadn't said a word. And lights the incense and offers the incense and looks at the audience like, wow, where's this, what planet is this man from? And then his first question was, what's the highest truth you know? That blew their mind. That's where he started. You know, it's like, what's the goal of life and how to achieve it? That's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy had their discussion. So this is a college class. What's the highest truth you know? And he was paused, and they were like, what does he mean? And that's, so, the question, it woke everybody up. And so the question is, that's the question. It, you know, rather than Vedanta Sutra saying, upon reaching the human form of life, the mission of human form of life is to find out that from which everything comes. That's the highest truth. That's the Vedic understanding. Whatever that is, that's the highest truth, because everything else can be a truth. The second class, third class truth, a little slice of truth over here, a little slice of truth over there, and people get a little buzz from this little truth or that little truth, and they think that's it, because they don't know what the source of everything is. So this is, you know, he wants to know the ultimate good. For he's no longer the king, because he's turned the kingdom over to his son, Janamejaya, but he has the spirit of a king. He's interested in all the praja, all the citizens. So he already knows, but he's asking for confirmation. And what is it that is one is supposed to do who's about to die? And anyone that's heard Prabhupada's lectures knows he speaks about this a lot. Who can say how he had 7 days? Who can say they have 7 moments? Who can say? Who's not about to die? We're all about to die. Of course, the other is the duty of everyone. But anyway, Prabhupada has made emphasis on the about to die, because when you know that you're about to die, something happens. You get, like, real serious. I know somebody that just went through a 8-hour brain surgery because they had a tumor in their brain. I don't know how they, I mean. And so that devotee became really serious because he had no idea if he's going to, like, wake up after the surgery. So he had a little notice. You know, he has to go undergo. So we don't know. We don't know. Like Ratna, when we went out to ride his bicycle, he didn't know. And, you know, Krishna protected him. But, gosh. So, our Bhagavad Dharma is in pursuit of that. And all the other things that we do is in pursuit of that. That's the alignment message, that guna and karma, you know, the behaviors, our values, those things that we hold as important to us, our deep convictions, it's all in alignment of this pursuit of the Absolute Truth, which we're part and parcel of. And when we have a phrase that I very much like, that I would hear Prabhupada say many times, when a goal is well defined, it's very easy to take steps to reach the goal. And then the converse is, if the goal is not well defined, good luck. I had a friend in college that during that era, he had a little sports car, a convertible sports car, and on every Saturday he'd go out for a drive. And I asked him, when you go out for the drive, where are you going? Just going for a drive. I said, hope you get there. If you don't have a goal, how are you going to even know that you got there? I'm going to end because here in Los Angeles everybody likes questions. So, in a college program, University of Georgia in Athens, there was a new person, and it was the topic was a nice topic, and I was using this euphemistic language, the place of higher consciousness. Because, you know, I don't want to spook anybody and say the God word or anything like that. So, the place of higher consciousness. So, he practices yoga, he does some meditation, he understands, yes, by meditation you can access a place of higher consciousness. How do you stay there? And then his other question was, I said, you have to have shelter, otherwise you can't stay there. So here's what shelter looks like. And then his other question was, when you get there, let's call it. Do you have this, like, realization that it isn't really it? You have to, like, go to another it, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, that's not it? That's an interesting question. I said, no. It's just, an ocean has a bottom, but this it has no bottom. You just go deeper and deeper. And it's a relationship with it. It's a person. It's a person, not it. So, one other thing. The language, the translation that Prabhupada is using here is duty. Now, it's not dharma, because commonly, dharma, that's Arjuna's question, what is my duty? It's krita. Krita means to do. What am I supposed to do? But what we're supposed to do, that's what our duty is. And who today thinks, what's my duty? You know, it's, that is to say, when one doesn't have this goal, ultimate goal, then the goal is, using Prabhupada's language, sense gratification. Or fruitive activities. What's the purpose of fruitive activities? So you can get something, and what is, every activity has a result, and you do something because you want to get something, and you want to be the enjoyer of that something. That's the default position of material consciousness. So duty has a higher sense. The higher sense is this ultimate goal. So what's the duty of all persons? Gosh, people today, do they think about duty? From the arguments with Krishna gives to Arjuna, you know, you're an exalted person. You're my friend. You know, it doesn't look good. You know the purpose of life, but your position is non-Aryan. It's like you don't even know you have a duty. Anyway, there's many other references. Because of time, I'm not going to go there. But there are many other references where one forgets one's duty. Even exalted persons. You know, like a nice example. One is when Dhruva finds out that his stepbrother, Uttam, has been killed by the Yakshas. He has a Kshatriya duty, not just an option. It's a duty to punish those who make such an offense, not just because he's his brother. So he goes off and he loses it. He loses his sense of duty. He just starts wildly killing all the Yakshas, left and right. So Swayambhuva Manu comes and says, Dhruva, you come from a great lineage. It doesn't become you. You're not representing our lineage properly. And Dhruva, please remember, Lord Vishnu, because he forgot. Lord Vishnu came and he promised you, you're going to go back to Godhead. You're going to have Dhruva Loka after you rule. And, you know, just please remember who you are. It's like just a tap on the shoulder and he's okay. Most people don't have a sense of responsibility our responsibility unto our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, and to represent our founder Acharya. And that's a guiding vector that can keep us on the center of the road. And if we start moving off the center of the road, somebody can just tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you're headed for the ditch. That's all it takes. If we have that sense of duty to our founder Acharya and his principles and his emphasis and his mood, and we just get back to the center of the road. Because, so, what he's being asked is duty. But what's the purpose of a duty? It's to reach a goal. And what's the goal? Connect with the Absolute Truth. Okay, what's the Absolute Truth? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Then we have this text 39 saying, hear, chant, worship, and always remember. That's our Bhagavad Dharma process. So as Prabhupada says, the whole canto 2 to 12 as a response to that question, just expanding and elaborating. To be continued tomorrow morning. So any comments or questions? I'm looking at Archit, he always has a question or a comment. No, not this morning? Okay. Yes, over here, up front.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Swamiji. How would the Prabhu that went to college preaching, how would he follow up that question? the highest truth.
How do I follow up that question?
No, how would he follow it up for his preaching purposes when he asked them what is the highest truth they know?
Oh, it's all over the place. It was like 4th of July, you know. Because just like these conversations, I was commenting, in the past week I've had some number of conversations with people that's just, they really don't know. And so part of the approach is to put, they think they know, but they really don't know, and to help them want to know. So it depends on the person and the mood and so forth. But you know, that was where he wanted to take it. You know, respond to, you know, your bucket has holes in it. So let's take anyone else. And so would you like to look at a bucket that doesn't have holes in it? That was his approach. Okay? You have something? Just scratching. Okay. In the back? Parvat Moody?
Our duty as devotees is to try to become devotees, is to give out the transcendental name.
Give a what?
Give out the transcendental name, which Srila Prabhupada has given us, his transcendental literature and prasadam. And that should be done everywhere we go. That is our duty as a devotee, and to get everybody else to know this and feel that happiness of doing that. Given out the transcendental name, his transcendental literature, books.
So you're making a comment.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic.
That is our real...
That's the first class method.
Get prasadam.
First class. I saw Amarendra yesterday, and I understand why he's visiting in L.A., so we can offer a prayer to Rukmini Dorkadish, that he somehow, it becomes an instrument of increasing prasadam distribution. He's really fired up. Krishna lunch at UCLA. Federal court. Anything from the ladies' side? Yes, Radha Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, sometimes I'm sure you have witnessed that you try to convey a message to somebody, you're speaking directly, and that person hears totally a different thing.
They do what?
They hear a different thing.
It's very
they
common.
Hear what they want to hear.
Hey, so, do you ever do that too? Not they. So, yeah, that's a comment. What's the question?
So, how do we recognize that this guy didn't get it, and how to correct it?
Gently. That's how to. Now, I know some devotees that don't do it gently. And somehow, some of those devotees that don't do it gently get through. But sometimes those devotees that don't do it, same devotee that doesn't do it gently, it really puts people off. They go, that they run the other way. So, the gently approach is a nice approach. There he goes, Archita. Last question, we're going to end.
That was a very good question, and Lord Shabadev recommended in the fifth canto that the duty of the guru, the king, and the father is to instruct the subordinate. But if the subordinate doesn't respond appropriately, just keep giving the instruction and don't get angry. Just keep giving the instruction. So if you're speaking to somebody and they don't get it, just keep giving it to them. That's what Prabhupada did to us. He kept telling us, Jain Hare Krishna, you're not responding. And he just kept telling us. And maybe we've gotten it, maybe we haven't, but we just have to keep hearing.
I have two things. I was hearing a recording of a lecture in Hyderabad, And Prabhupada was pointing to the, you know, his favorite, here's the West European American disciples. And he, you know, quickly described they came from a background that was very sinful. And just by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, they've now come to accept. He was revealing his strategy, which is exactly what you said. However, another, Prabhupada was being interviewed by an Associated Press reporter. And his position, his predisposition was, Swamiji, you hold power over so many people, but you discourage people from doing things that is going to give upliftment and benefit to the society. And Prabhupada, without going into it, he gave a really simple example. And the man didn't get it, the man didn't get it, the man didn't get it, the man didn't get it. And finally Prabhupada turned to the devotees and said, this man is not very intelligent. So, but he, you know, he didn't lose it. He was just very patient and said it again and said it again. And the man came back with the same predisposition. And it's something like this lady that in Bhaktivedanta Manor that wanted her son to become a doctor and brought the priest and, you know, ganged up on Prabhupada. And he said, there's so many doctors, you know, there's so few Hare Krishna devotees, so devoted to God, and he doesn't need, we don't need another doctor. We need the purity that comes from this life and training. Well, you know, he can become pure and be a doctor at the same time, right? And isn't that part of your teachings, right? And so, you know, can you just, like, right in front of us, can you encourage him to become a doctor right now? Prabhupada didn't budge. He kept making the same point. You know, they didn't accept. They had a predisposition. That's one of the things that happens when people can't hear. They have a predisposition. Okay. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.